Good morning, everyone. I'm Daljit Dhaliwal in for Adora Udoji. Okay, so, John, how about some of that stimulus cash to bail out the newspapers?
not for failed businesses, I don't believe. None of the money is eligible for newspapers.
Yeah, well, you know, it's no huge surprise that the industry, of course, is treading water. At least the print editions are. The readers are there, but they're migrating online where the content is free. And Jeff Jarvis, professor at CUNY Graduate School of Journalism, writes about the industry in his blog, Buzz Machine, and he's here to talk about the death of newspapers and if it can or should be averted. So what do you think? Do you want to kill them off?
No, not really, but I think they might have killed themselves off a little too prematurely. Just before I came in on Twitter, how cool is that, I saw the news that Google just bought a paper mill in Finland. They're going to shut it down and put a data center in there. Trees are smirking. I think that newspapers shouldn't concentrate on being paper. And that's the problem they've had. They've had 15 years since the commercial browser was released in October 1994 to figure out this world. But like so many other industries, auto, banking, they try to protect their past as a strategy for the future. The truth is that the web brings incredible new opportunities to cover, to gather, share news in all kinds of new ways. Now, can the legacy players really take advantage of that? Some will. But this year, with the dire straits in the industry, newspapers are going to die. And what matters is what's going to go in their place.
There's a downside to consuming news in that way as well. I mean, how do you sort of move beyond this whole thing of it just being, you know, page impression upon page impression and bring value to it?
Oh, I think it's quite possible. I think that aggregation and curation of the news becomes a value. And there's so much more news from so many more places. I can now read and write for The Guardian in London, the BBC, NPR, all these places bring it together and get the best of the world now. So the question becomes, what opportunities lie there? Among them is to be a curator, to find the best news, to add value in that way. Another is that I think we're going to create networks of journalism where a lot of players in a larger ecosystem will add to journalism. And part of the value there, I think, is to help educate them to do it better.
Well, those are all nice volunteer positions. The question is, who will pay for what? And are there revenue streams that can even compare to what the New York Times needs to fund its infrastructure? Let's take a couple of headlines from the Times. Carlos Slim, the billionaire from Mexico City in the telecom industry, has taken apparently a $250 million position of stock with the New York Times. The Times is trying to sell its interest in the Boston Red Sox to raise cash, sign of desperation there. And then Murdoch, the other big player in newspapers here in the United States, News Corp lost $6 billion in its last report. Are these new signs that things are accelerating?
Yes, I think that's exactly what's happening. It's acceleration, but the trend is already there. The Times itself, I think, is in decent shape. The Boston Globe is in dire shape. Regional papers across the U.S. are in terrible shape, too, and I think that some will die. But again, I think the question is, I just wrote a book called What Would Google Do? And I've been asking, it started with the idea of telling newspaper people to ask that question, to think about their world as Google would. Now, what they have to do is to distribute their news and get it out in all kinds of new ways. They don't have to own everything. That was the necessity of owning the press, which just doesn't exist anymore. So the idea that a major paper has to have, every paper has to have their own golf critic and movie critic and this and that, they don't have to be all things to all people anymore. The internet brings a very different sized business, probably smaller, definitely smaller, but also possibly more profitable.
But what's also going on in terms of, you know, how we look at newspapers, how we value newspapers? I mean, if you look at President Sarkozy, I mean, he decided to bail out the French newspapers. I mean, I bet that kind of dialogue isn't happening in the United States about whether we should be. Yeah, I mean, I know that you probably don't feel that it should be. But my question is, like, what's changed in terms of how we... our relationship to newspapers? I mean, is there something that's happening in terms of how
newspapers
we value
have more
journalism?
Readers than ever. They have more readers than ever. The New York Times has readers all around the world right now.
So, which is ironic. So they're not profitable,
but, they're not living
but their readership is up.
They're not living in a scarcity economy anymore where they controlled the asset of the press and could set prices. Well, we're in an abundance economy, and Google knows how to take advantage of that where newspapers don't. They're just in very different mindsets.
But Google's all about control. I mean, the model that you're talking about, what would Google do? Google will be the gigantic information monopoly. No, they don't control the means of production of content, but they essentially control the means of distribution in terms of search and you know, they're the huge player out there. They know what all of us are doing, why we're searching for what, and they're aggregating that information. That's 10 revenue streams right there. Your argument suggests there won't be many players in journalism anymore. They'll just be Google, and if you play by their rules, you're in. Otherwise, forget it.
No, look at Google itself. Google is actually a platform. Google doesn't own all the internet. The more content that is created on the internet, the better off it is for Google. The more they have to organize, the more they have to put ads on. Why shouldn't a paper look at it that way? So here in New York, you have Debbie Gallant starting BaristaNet, a great blog in New Jersey, covering a town there, getting 10,000 visitors a day, 100 advertisers. The relationship of the Star Ledger or the New York Times to Debbie should be to join in a network. Debbie can own her thing, they can own their thing, and the larger platform can help make her business work. That's the way to look at it now.
Let's talk about this free content for a minute. I mean, there seems to be a big debate going on about whether or not you should or shouldn't charge for this. I mean, what are your thoughts on it? I mean, do you think that this is sort of going towards a new business model which could in some way sort of help the survivability of journalism if, you know, in 10 or 15 years there aren't going to be any more newspapers?
The New York Times failed with Times Select, or it chose to kill it down. And when they did shut it down, their traffic went up 40%. But more, and their columnists were back in the conversation. Tom Friedman hated being behind a paywall. But most important of all, the New York Times gained Google juice. If you try to charge for content, you gain a lot of costs. You have to market, number one, and number two, you shut yourself off from the world of search. And that is suicidal. I think companies will soon be valued on their Google juice. And by shutting down the paywall and going back to free, the Times increased the value of its asset and reached more people.
All right, Jeff, thank you very much. Going to leave it there. And we've got the headlines now with Mark Garrison. Hi, Mark.
Thank you, Dalji. 28 minutes after the hour.
On Notes from America, we have conversations with people across the country about how we can truly become the nation that we claim to be. Each week, we talk about race, our politics, education, relationships, usually all of them, because everything's connected. And you, our listeners, are at the center of those conversations. I'm Kai Wright. Join me on Notes from America, wherever you get your podcasts.